Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I'm back.
Yes, welcome back.
I made it. I drove all the way from PEI, but I did it.
I am so proud of you. You were away for a whole week.
I was.
How was that vacation?
It was interesting, because I don't have a gaming laptop. And the 3DS is sort of a barren wasteland at the moment. And I don't know, iOS games, I'm really good at buying them, but I'm not very good at playing them. So I kind of didn't play anything while I was away. It was kind of interesting. We were busy too, right? You don't go to PEI just to play video games, although Legion was out and I was a little frustrated. But I didn't play very much while I was there, but I played as much as I physically could once I got back and cleared through some shit. So I honestly, it's weird, we're gonna talk about it, but I will say that before our Legion talk, like, I've said this before, I'm a huge fan of Warcraft. I love it. It's got a special place in sort of my back catalog of video gaming, and I never miss an expansion, never. And this is the first time in 10 years that I have not played a WoW expansion the day it launches, and
that's because you were like weird and like lame and thought getting married and having babies was a good idea.
No, see, that doesn't get in the way. It's planning your vacation before Blizzard decides to announce a freaking release date, which I never usually do, right? Like, I mean, who would have thought Blizzard would release a major expansion at the end of August? That's sort of like no man's land for video games. But no, I 1 week later, I finally played Legion, and it was really weird, because every other, I mean, I remember standing in line at Wrath of Lich King. I remember going to Walmart at midnight for Cataclysm, and just walking into the store and being like, oh, they have holiday hours, so I'm just going to go pick it up. And it was kind of disappointing to wait a whole week. I feel like I missed, or I'm like behind. I'm definitely behind, but I feel missed a special, you know, that first week. You know?
Yeah, the first week was pretty amazing. It was the same sort of experience that I had in Draenor, which is why that holds a special place in my heart, because that was the first time I was actually ready to like play an expansion on launch. And Legion had that same feel for me, so that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved doing, and there's still some of that, but it's different for sure. And it's crazy how quickly it got to be different. Like, there aren't so many people questing in all the same places now. And, you know, like, especially I've noticed for skinning in particular, it used to be anywhere that I went in any zone, there were just, like, animals laying all over the ground, and I could just go and skin them, because everyone else who weren't leather workers and weren't skinners were just killing all these mobs and leaving them to rot, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was really great for me in the first couple of days, because I was just like, I don't even have to kill anything. I'm just skin. Done.
Oh, that's a really twisted theme song there. It's interesting. Yeah, no, I haven't been experiencing that sort of day one. There's a bunch of people around. Now, still in the class halls, there's usually a bunch of people, because they like fill that thing to the brim. Just based on, like, I assume just based on how many people they have on those servers. Like, the class halls operate as a, this was what's new to me, is I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to Legion because this summer's been so busy. But I kind of didn't realize that the class halls were populated with other characters, which is really cool, because one of the issues people have with their garrisons, and not really an issue, but more of like a common prod at Blizzard of, you know, when they tried to make fun of Draenor, was that your garrison always felt very empty, void of life, some would say.
Yeah.
The class halls have been very lively, and just a lot of like twirling demon hunters, and it's been really
fascinating. They're all elves.
They are very much all elves, Jocelyn. It's I'm not particularly fond of the amount of elves I'm surrounded by. It's you know, everyone's poking me with their ears. It's just really unfortunate. I mean, it gets everywhere. It's weird. I literally only played one evening. I sat down Tuesday, so yesterday, at like 10 o'clock, and then played to like 3 a.m., finished all of Stormheim, Halls of Valor dungeon this morning. I started with my Demon Hunter because I figured, you know what, if we're going to do this new, let's just do it fresh and mm-hmm. start with the Demon Hunter. And it was weird.
Right, because you've actually been away from Warcraft for a while, right?
Yeah, like a year and a half. Draenor, mm-hmm. I dropped out like basically after all the story content was done, the main leveling content. I think we maybe...
There wasn't much more than that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I'm feeling like this expansion has a lot more story, a lot more to offer, and it feels very much like Wrath of the Lich King. Like, I remember jumping into Wrath of the Lich King and there being, you know, the main baddie with his army, but also the continuing conflict between other races and other factions, which is super felt in Stormheim. I don't know if you played Stormheim yet, because I know last week
have you done
all the sections yet?
I haven't done High Mountain, but I've done the other three.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I'm like, I think halfway through Suramar, because Suramar is gated by rep, so you have to have a certain amount of rep with the faction before the next storyline quest will open up.
Really?
So that's kind of frustrating, but
I am I have not listened to last week's episode because I haven't played Azura and Val something.
Valshura.
You know, good old Val. So I haven't listened to that, and I know you guys went full spoilers. And I was going to ask you before you had mentioned that you're going to do the spoiler cast, right, for all the WoW sections, which I think is perfect, because there's no way in hell I'm ever going to catch up on a weekly basis. Because I don't know if I could do 3 a.m., every time, because that was two days off.
We recorded on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and so yesterday, and we did a full start to finish of Stormheim. Nice. So that's the first Embrace the Spoilers is what we're talking about, and that was Garrett and I went full spoilers and walked kind of quest, not necessarily quest by quest, but definitely
beat
like
by beat.
We went through the whole story as if it was a movie, basically.
Ooh, so, I'm going to have to listen to that, because I've got... It's weird. Jumping into Stormheim as my first zone, it's like, first of all, what the hell? Like, we're supposed to be fighting the main baddie, and I've got wolves breathing down my neck, which is like, hey, Anduin, keep your people in line. Let's get it together. man, I don't know. Maybe Jaina is just spreading angst to everybody. I really don't get it, honestly. And the way that sort of zone progresses, obviously there's some deeper hatred between Sylvanas and Greymane, something with a son. I should wiki it. I don't know.
Basically Sylvanas tried to kill Greymane and his son jumped in the way and he died instead.
Oh, well, man, that's what you get for raising heroic sons, I guess.
My way of looking at it is like, okay, so you have this super heroic son that died mm-hmm. to save you, and instead of fighting the big bad evil that is the Legion, you choose to be petty and go after Sylvanas, and I think that sullies his son's memory, personally. But
who was his son? I don't even know his son. Did he do anything special? Liam?
No, he fought, he led the Gilnean people in the battle of... against Sylvanas and her undead army, because she was ordered by the Horde in Cataclysm to take a port in the northern eastern kingdom. So that was Gilneas. So she was ordered to conquer them. And so Liam was part of the big battle.
Is that in Sylvanas. A book or is that?
Nope, that's okay. In game.
So what was that like? Was that
it's
Worgen
a Silver Pine
in?
Forest is the zone that you play as Horde anyway. I don't know. It might be the... Worgen starting zone, possibly. I'm not sure what it is on the Alliance side because I don't play Alliance, but that's what happened. She shot an arrow at the opposing enemy's leader, and the sun jumped in the way and died. So,
I think that zone just felt very off to me in terms of the first zone. I probably wouldn't recommend it if you're looking for the Legion is here. The Legion is here.
That's so funny because we actually gave the exact opposite recommendation. Mm. We said Stormheim is the best one to go into first because it basically picks up right after the events of the scenario if you played the scenario.
Oh, I get that.
Broken Shore.
That's true. I felt like if you've been preparing.
But there's very little Legion, for sure.
It's, yeah.
There's Legion influence, which actually is kind of true in all the zones. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Legion has influenced some badness in each specific zone, and then you have to go in and fight it.
It felt very much like the way in Mists, how the sort of weird juju had infected some of the people. I can't remember what it was called. It was like a goop,
the
right?
Shah.
Yeah, the Shah, which is...
I know all the words, don't
not,
worry.
Not much of a better term than weird juju, but I guess it isn't. We haven't got our troll expansion yet, so... exactly. You do feel like there's that Legion-esque stuff, but there's no demons in that zone. It's kind of weird because you're sitting there and this guy's like, yo, I've been given this power by you know, Gul'dan, but you're not going to see Gul'dan for like at least 5 hours.
I'm trying to think of all the zones... I don't think there's actually demons in any zones until you get to Suramar.
Oh, well then, I have a quest to kill demons. Who the hell do I have to find to kill a demon? Like, what? So I have to go to Suramar then? Maybe I should just follow the quest. I guess it did lead me to Suramar. I didn't think you could... You just said you couldn't get there, right?
Suramar is the 110 zone. So everything is 110. It doesn't scale. All the other zones scale.
So I got a Demon Hunter class quest to collect Fel Blood. So I have to find demons.
There is a small area in Asuna, which is right next to the Illidari Stand, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And there's just that one kind of like, it's like almost like a peninsula. But other than, like, there's no demons in Stormheim. There's no demons in High Mountain. There's no demons in Valshara.
What the hell kind of Legion invasion is this? Like, what's going on?
Well, and I think this is kind of the thing, is that, like, excuse me, as in any Warcraft expansion... Mm-hmm. We have, like right now we're playing in 7.0. There's going to be 7.1, which they talked about at Gamescom, which I haven't really looked into too much because I don't want spoilers. Right. But so there's going to be a 7.2, a 7.3. There was only 6.1 and 6.2 in Draenor, but there was went all the way up to 5.4 in Mists of Pandaria. So, but you're looking at, you know, somewhere between 3 and 4 patches, like big major content patches, cool. in theory, in the way it has been in the past anyway. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure that the Legion invasion is going to get much, it's going to escalate the same way it did with the starting stuff, right? So the invasion started with just like one invasion populating somewhere on each continent, and then it was 3, and then it was 6, and you know, so the launch event was the same, where it kind of ramped up, so I'm sure that it'll be the same. But there's like, there's definitely like fell stuff in every zone, but straight up, like, there's no like doom guards and stuff walking around.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean I'm nitpicking here. I think it's probably the best expansion that they've ever done, and I've only experienced it for one evening, but having, you know, been playing WoW for a very long time, this feels like the first time Blizzard said, like, okay, let's throw out the one through 10 levels that we give you every 2 years, and just say, do whatever you want. Let's structure the story around choice. Let you go where you want to go first. You pick us. You literally say, like, okay, I'm going to go to this continent, and you move the class hall, or your sort of direction of your class hall, to that area. And it works really well, and it feels just a lot better than, like, everybody starts in this area. Mm-hmm. And I think the first expansion where they kind of started to toy with that was Wrath of the Lich King, where they said, like, you can start on either side of the island, but you still had to work your way towards specific continents based on level. And
you mean zones?
Zones, yeah. Yeah, zones. And when they first announced the fact that you could play any zone you wanted to in whatever order, I was kind of like, yeah, that sounds good, but I have to see how they do it. And the way they did it is very, it's awesome. And it feels like a very different WoW to me. And that is exciting because, again, having played this game for 10 years on and off, it's just finally nice to play a fresh experience. I'll always play WoW, but I will always say, like, yeah, it's still WoW, but this feels like a new and improved WoW that we've needed for probably 2 expansions now, if not 3.
Yeah.
So
chat room right now is saying that there's demons in High Mountain and Valshara, and the thing is, they're not actually demons. Like, they're spell infused tauren and they're
sounds good,
like nightmare emerald nightmare creatures, but they're not actually demons. They're not from the Legion. They're, again, the Legion has come to each zone and basically corrupted the different creatures in different ways. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have your nightmare creatures, you've got your fel infused creatures, you've got, you know, like, which I guess technically the guy in Stormheim and his, Valkyr.
Yeah. The Valkyr. Yep.
Yeah. They're all like, again, fel infused slash powered up by Gul'dan. And then in Azuna, there actually is, like I said, there's kind of like a little island of actual demons and actual right. fel stuff, but that's also like right next to the tomb of Sargeras. So those demons are kind of like, it's almost like an encroaching, and I feel like slowly they're going to take over the whole entire area, but you know, like it's like a landing zone almost.
Yeah. And you know, the quest is to get fel blood. So fel has
Vykrul, been Vykrul, that's Vykrul, it. Yeah. The Valkyr are the right. They're the angel ones. There's so many V names over there. I can never keep track, because there's also like the Valkyra, which is like the chicks when they're still alive, and like ah.
I
it's like damn it, Blizz.
It's weird. They kind of Stormheim is one of those zones where they just kind of named everything the same, and you just gotta kind of try and coordinate. But there were some fun moments in that zone that I really appreciated, and I was going through, and I kind of half expected, like, okay, I'm just going to follow this the tests of valor or whatever, and that's going to be the whole zone. But then there was these little pockets that sort of explored just side stories, and it was rewarding to do it all. Like, I feel like I did every quest in Stormheim, including Halls of Valor, and that's a great feeling. And I know we got that in Draenor. I feel like they did that well in Draenor too, but they've tightened it up here in Legion, especially in this one zone that I've done, and I'm hoping it sort of expands in that way as well. But just really enjoying it. The Demon Hunter is a fantastic class. It's the action-packed class that I've wanted for a long time. I know there are probably some more action-packed classes. I've been playing a Warlock for 6 years, if not longer. So, you know, and I'm not a... not an alt guy, right? So I play for 3 months and I jump off and I come back and I play the same character, and that could be why I don't stick around as much. But I have some other hundreds to roll around with. I've got my Warlock and I have a Priest, and then I have the 90 boost, which I didn't take advantage of during the invasion, so I might have to level him the old-fashioned way, but wouldn't hurt to check out Draenor.
Well, you can go into the Broken Isles as early as 98, and I would highly, highly, highly recommend you do that, because again, all the mobs will scale. You can do dungeons from 98, so you don't have to hit 100. So,
And now Neutronoff in the chat room, which I love that name, is saying I should try a Boomkin Druid. He's the first person to suggest a Boomkin Druid. I've never played a Boomkin Druid. That sounds interesting. I think that this would also be the expansion to try a druid, just because Cenarius and Malfurion have popped back up. Mm-hmm. Haven't been out there yet, but I'm really digging this expansion. They've just nailed it. You know, for now, we'll see. It's only been one day for me. It's been a week for you. Do you feel like they're sort of keeping your interest?
Oh, for sure. My problem right now is that everything that I'm trying to do on my main character is kind of gated in some way to make sure that I don't do it too quickly, which is frustrating. Because so, for instance, my professions, I've been trying to level my leatherworking to full for probably about a week now. And there's, I think I have two options right now for patterns that are actually going to give me skill points. They're green, which means I've probably crafted 30 or 40 things in order to gain like 5 skill points in leatherworking. So I find it's a gigantic waste of materials. It's just this huge time sink to go try to gather everything. It takes like Blood of Sargeras, which is like the super rare crafting material. And so I've been trying to craft stuff. I'm at 799 and I've been sitting at that for a while now. And I'm just frustrated because like there is literally no pattern that I can get that's going to be yellow. So I'm just like, it's just gated. And so I'm supposed to just spend time because they don't want people to be like maxed out of everything, you know, as soon as possible. And it's the same now with my questing experience in Suramar, is that's gated behind reputation. So I have to be I'm already friendly. So I have to be honored in order to unlock the next parts of the quest storyline, which I just find really frustrating because you also gain rep with them ridiculously slow. Mm-hmm. There's like things that you can do that will gain you rep, and you get to choose whenever you find world quests for the Curantor. You can choose whether you want to gain 750 rep with the Nightfallen, which is the Suramar faction, or you can gain 1500 with any other faction of your choice. So it's like everything is cut in half. Their quests are only worth 50. You have to get 6,000 in order to actually get to honored, obviously. So you start unfriendly, you have to get all the way through friendly and then all the way through to honored, and it's just it's such a grind. And I can't do anything else in the zone. I can't progress the story until I hit that. So I just have to do world quests, and then there's a cooldown on world quests, and
right,
it's just it's just frustrating. So
it sounds like rough business, especially so when
I just started playing my alt basically.
Oh, I see.
So I just switched over to my paladin. Oh. I was just like, all right, Hunter, I've had a lot of fun with you, you're super cool, but I'm gonna go play paladin because there's no gating on my paladin yet. She's only 101, so
you haven't done any of the PvP yet? I know that was something big for you. Have they like launched
so
it?
So there is no zone like Ashran, which I think a lot of people are happy about, but there is no zone like Ashran. There's just kind of like little pockets of PvP, I guess, in every zone. Mm-hmm. So in Dalaran, if you go into the underbelly, then there's PvP down there. But it's a total free-for-all. And that's, I believe, the same way it is in every world zone, too, is it's just totally free-for-all. And they're kind of, like, tucked away, so you don't have to go through them. They're, like, in High Mountain, it's, like, up in the mountains. And in Stormheim, it was, like, right along the coast. So you don't have to go there. So anytime I've gone there, it's totally empty. There's nobody else there. And I don't love free-for-all. I like teams. Mm-hmm. So free-for-all is just, like, you just run in and then Horde can kill Horde. And yeah, I just don't love that.
Is there no battlegrounds that they've added? I haven't done PvP in a long time. So
Ashran is now a battleground. You can queue for it. You don't have to go back to Draenor, which was a big change because you used to have to just run in. That was the only way to do it. So you don't actually... Yeah, there's no new battleground, which is kind of crappy. But
do you think they'll add something? Because I mean, if you're gonna overhaul the PvP system, wouldn't you give some new battlegrounds, some new places to enjoy this new PvP?
That would be nice, but
okay. So judging by your response, they have not done it. That's unfortunate because I remember when they announced the PvP, you were super stoked for it, and it seems
And I haven't done much with it at all since it launched. So. But I've also been pretty busy with all the PvE stuff. So chat room's also saying it's not as gated as you think if you research all the sources. I've done pretty much all the sources of rep. I think the only thing, because there's also like a daily world quest you can do, which is like training the Withered, I think. There's a few different sources, but it seems like I'm constantly sitting and waiting before I can do something else, and that sucks. That just really sucks.
Yeah.
So, and leatherworking really is gated. If it, like, you should have something that gives you skill points all the way to the top, otherwise, then, yeah, that's totally gated.
Yeah, well, the gate should be the crafting mats, not the fact that they've literally put a gap there that you have to grind a green recipe. And that's for every single one. I remember... And that's kind of why I haven't really paid attention to, and I'm a hardcore casual when it comes to like professions. I think my jewel crafting on my warlock, I don't think I got him. I might have maxed it out, but just based on like just grinding a bunch of stuff. But I don't even have professions for my demon hunter. Like I would have to start that from one, right?
Yes, but it's super easy to do. And they did like a catch-up mechanic similar to Draenor. So there's a Legion catch-up mechanic. So you can start from one.
Well, so I just pick a profession and then it starts. It still starts at the beginning, though, doesn't it?
No, you can like you can get Legion recipes, and then the Legion recipes are craftable whether you have one skill point or 700.
Oh, so I guess so, I should like, look into it. So I should probably do skinning and leather
working. So if you did, so you would basically, and I don't have anywhere I've started at one, but from what I understand, it's just like you do it once and it'll give you like 25 skill points. And so, you know, like you can level up really, really quickly. And then it starts to slow down once you actually hit current content, which is 700 to 800 points.
Okay. So Demon Hunter is a leather wearing. I'm the one playing the Demon Hunter. So maybe like I've never done leather working and I've never really taken skinning to the max. So I feel like if I want to craft my own armor, that's the way to go about it. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't really know what else. Like, professions aren't exciting, right? Like, they're just sort of there. Or am I missing something about professions?
Basically, professions are kind of the best way to make gold on the auction house.
Oh.
Just because they are predictable. Like, I can say, if I go and I skin and I create 16 belts today, then I can go sell them on the auction house and I can make gold. Okay. As opposed to, you know, trying to farm drops, for instance, like you never know if the mobs that you're killing are going to drop. So it's a lot, you know, it's a lot harder to do that kind of farming than it is to do profession farming. But you do have to pay a little bit of attention, right? Like you can't just, you know, say I'm going to make belts when really everyone needs headpieces or something. So yeah, you have to pay attention to what sells on the auction house. But yeah, professions are a good way to make gold.
Do the professions, like, can you build armor that's sort of compatible with like raiding and leveling or?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting then. I need to look into it. So I think
you can make crafted gear. You can upgrade it up to item level 850, I believe. Using Obliterum.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my Obliterum Forge, and basically that means you have to throw all of your crafted gear into the forge. It gets obliterated, and then you take the ash, and then you make a gem that upgrades your crafted gear. So it's very cyclical. Make gear, break it down, make something better, that kind of thing. So, but that part I haven't found that frustrating, but it's just the not being able to max the skill is just really frustrating. And the thing is, once I hit 800, then I get a really, really sweet mount, which I think again is why it's so gated, is that there was this really ridiculously difficult quest where you had to follow a moose around Stormheim, and he doesn't take the paths, like he pulls you through mobs, he jumps you off cliffs, like it's really, really difficult to do. It took me 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And then you get a riding harness, and then you can craft the harness, which allows you to ride the moose when you hit 800. And so, yeah, there's this really sweet mount that's like one skill point away, and it's been literally like a week that I've been trying to level up to 800, and I've been stuck somewhere between 770 and 800 now for a week. And I'm just like, ugh.
And there's so there's no recipe around like 790 that you could use. There's nothing.
Absolutely every recipe is either gray, which gives you no skill points, or green, which has a chance to give you a skill point.
Yeah. Very slim chance.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. But one last thing about my experience with Legion that, again, coming into this a week later from everybody else, you hear, I've been avoiding spoilers, but you can't help but hear the sort of excitement people have about specific features, you know, class halls, class missions, class quests, artifact type weapon stuff. Like, that was all very cool, but to me, I started to do some of the class missions, like the garrison type stuff. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between Draenor's garrison missions and Legion's missions that has people not up in arms? Because weren't people really upset about the Garrison missions? Like, they were very boring. Are they just there as fluff now, or?
Well, the thing is, I think just having to be in your garrison so much in Draenor was what the problem was, because people, like you said, they were very lonely, empty places. Now in your class hall, you can see a bunch of other people, you can talk, you can trade. But the garrison was very, it was yours, but then also lonely, you know?
Yeah.
So they didn't quite do it. They didn't quite hit the experience of what playing an MMO should be. But I think they've done a much better job in the class halls. But yeah, the missions are exactly the same, basically. This time you get less followers. So I think there's only a total of 8. And you can only have a total of 5 active until you kind of do more quests and unlock the ability to have them be active.
Right.
And then you can also recruit, for me anyways, as a hunter, it is squads of archers and squads of trackers, which are kind of like single-use champions, I guess. So, like, you train a squad, you can use them. I think my squad of archers I can use twice, and my trackers I can use 3 times, and then they're gone. So then you have to train more. So they can be used in place. And the other thing is, and I don't know if you could do this in Draenor because I never tried, but if you have, say, a 3-follower mission, but one of your followers has 2 traits that are useful, you can send, and, like, you get 100% chance on your mission, you can send just that one person. You don't have to fill in those other slots.
Right.
So that's another kind of like quality of life improvement. It's like you don't have to go above and beyond 100% chance of success. Sorry, is what I think is chance of success. And anything that you go above and beyond. So say I have 125% chance. Mm-hmm. That means I have a 25% chance at bonus loot, which is awesome.
And I mean, I honestly just started using this today and it's already come in handy. Like, the companion app is exactly what we said we wanted. I mean, Draenor was kind of one of those things. I think it's an expansion of great, like, cool ideas that just didn't quite get there, required more time, and they just had to get the expansion out. And Legion is all the lessons learned, I think, from Draenor, maybe except PvP, but to a certain extent. But all those lessons, the garrison missions and structure of that, and then the companion app, something we've been asking for. And this thing is amazing. It notifies you when your mission's done. You can complete it on your phone. I have not logged into WoW today, or WoW since I left for work this afternoon, but when I log back in after podcasting tonight, I'm going to be able to collect all these rewards that I had been queuing throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not getting a ton of cool stuff. I feel like I've just started, so I'm not really at where I was with my garrisons in Draenor. And maybe you can let me know if it gets to that point, but I'm still satisfied sort of like queuing up these missions for XP and stuff. It just works really well. I was surprised how well it worked, because I didn't think it would actually, you know, companion apps are usually terrible.
Yeah. Like,
this is the best companion app I've ever used.
Blizzard.
Yeah, I know.
This is Blizzard.
I realize that, but still, like, there are these great video game companies that, well, okay, we won't say, like, great, but, like, Destiny had one, and it was okay. And
Assassin's Creed had one.
And they were all right. I think, like, before this, probably the best companion app I've ever used was the Xbox companion app. It just worked really well. But this, by far, takes the cake, and it's, you can check multiple characters. Of course, I only have one that I can do right now, but I mean, as soon as you start getting your alts in, you don't have to log back into those characters. You can just manage it all from the app. It just works really well, which I was surprised by, because I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. I was just expecting something that broke for some reason. that just shows, like, where I'm at when it comes to companion apps, but it's just works so great. I'm super stoked about it. Now, I haven't played around. I only have 2 champions, so I don't have, like, a combat ally, so I haven't played around with that. But
Rexxar is my combat ally, and it's amazing.
How'd you get Rexxar? Isn't he, like, a dude in the game? You can actually get, like, real people?
Yeah, he's my bodyguard.
What? How do I get those people? I just have, like, 2 no-name demon hunters. this well, Ashen and King.
Like he was one of the last people I recruited to my hall. So I got Rexxar because Rexxar is like he's a famous hunter, right? So because I'm a hunter, I got Rexxar as, so maybe as I'll one get of Illidan. My dudes. Yeah, probably not. He's still in a big giant green prism of some kind.
Well, I feel like he could at least be like a sweet coffee table or something.
Oh, someone Neutronoff in the chat room says he got Brightwing. That's fun.
Wow. Oh man, it's just I don't know. It's just another one of those layers. And I know I wasn't expecting the companion. I was driving back from PEI when I saw the YouTube link, and I'm like, holy crap, they did it! Like they actually did it, and they didn't tell us about it until after launch.
Yeah, which is kind of one of the things, because my order hall, and I'm sure all of them have like I guess 8-hour quests. Mm-hmm. So I had to do 5 8-hour quests, and then we were gone for the weekend, so I only got 2 done before we left, and then I had to do them when we got back. So it would have been super awesome to have ready at launch, because then I could have used it when I was away for the weekend. So yeah. I feel like it would have been more awesome if it was available sooner, but
yeah. No, that's true.
That's always good though, right? Like if you wanted something available sooner, then that means it's good.
Yeah, and they launched it and it works great, and I have a feeling that it will satisfy sort of what I kind of like about iOS games, sort of that time management type stuff where I can, you know, play for 15 minutes and then jump back out and jump back in. And I will say the notifications are a little bit bugged where it'll tell you like 3 or 4 times, but
I was going to say, mine is telling me stuff that's done that isn't going to be done for another 2 days, so.
What? There are missions that take 2 days?
Missions, research, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that takes extremely long time.
Yeah, that's, they probably did that just based on the fact that they knew they were going to have the companion app, because I think all the garrisons, I think the max would have been 8 hours, from what I remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember anything taking longer than that. It might have been some of the shipyard stuff took 24 hours, maybe.
I never did the shipyard stuff. Was that just an extra layer of garrison? Like, yes. People seemed extra unhappy with that, and I'm like,
yeah,
isn't it just more of the same? Like, why are we so angry? I don't know. I'm really enjoying Legion. I'm sure it's going to pop up on the show for quite a while. I'm stoked that you and Garrett are doing the spoiler cast stuff, because I feel like I was just going to hold the show back. Like, we can't talk about that because I don't know. I just haven't been able to stay up till 3 a.m. to play. And I've literally only got 1 day in, and I knew I was like, if I didn't do it, it would just be a problem for both me, the show, Jocelyn, just nobody would be happy. So I'm glad we got it.
And I don't know where you've gone now, but I would say, in terms of big story spoilers, get Val Shirah done next.
So that was going to be my next question, because I haven't actually gone to my Demon Hunter area and said, let's go here next. So Val Shirah is next.
I think so. Okay. That's the only questing experience I've had where I was kind of taken aback / surprised by what happened in the zone. Oh. So if that had been spoiled for me, I would have been really upset. So in the interest of it's been out for a week now, you should probably get this done before just the internet spoils it for you. Definitely Val Shirah is the next one, because there isn't really in High Mountain and Asuna, at least as far as I know in High Mountain, because obviously that's the zone I haven't finished. But in terms of, just in general, things that happen, there's not that much that's like this big crazy thing in Asuna, and same with High Mountain. So definitely Val Shirah is the next one to make sure that you get done, just so it doesn't get spoiled.
Okay. I've been seeing some like tear eyes stuff like when it comes to Val Shirah, and that's fine. I will do that one next. And I felt like Stormheim, while a good story beginning to end, there wasn't those like Zom moments. There is stuff that they're doing that they're setting up that's interesting for both the undead, the Forsaken, and the Worgen. I would really be interested to see what it would be like playing Stormheim as Alliance. I feel like you would probably hate that zone as Alliance, because you're just like, why are we being such dicks? Because it really doesn't feel like there's a lot of room in that one for Alliance there. I don't know.
Yeah, basically from what we kind of researched, it's just we need to stop Sylvanas is essentially the motivation for the Alliance. So,
which, I mean, what she's trying to do from what I've gathered, and everybody certainly go listen to Embrace the Spoilers. We're not going to spoil anything here. But what Sylvanas is trying to do, I could see that being an issue for the Alliance if they wanted to find a problem. Anyways, we can talk about it later. But I don't know. I enjoyed at the beginning of that zone, I was kind of like, this is, I'm not really feeling it. But by the end, you're like, oh, I see what they're doing here. This is interesting. So I'm looking forward to playing more. And just on the companion app alone, like I had a friend of mine, Belanger, texted me. And he's like, this companion app is amazing. I'm trying not to resub. I'm like, man, you should resub. The companion app is pretty good.
Yeah, we were talking Warcraft over the weekend a lot. So
I can imagine. I think he's so close. We just need to push him over the subscription edge and get him on there. I mean, his character's level 100. He's ready to go. He jumped back in not a couple months ago and got through Draenor, and I think he was enjoying himself. So Kalar and will
Legion
ride again.
Is 8,000 times better. So
yeah, and I honestly didn't think that was possible, because again, coming in a week later, I was like, there's no way this is as good as people are saying. Like, man, these people, they're just WoW lovers. It's fine. Like, WoW is great, but it's not. But this is truly, I think, like this, I would say this is the, I hate to say it, the second coming of Warcraft. Like, I think this is honestly them taking Warcraft and saying, okay, if this is the game that's going to exist forever from Blizzard, let's truly like make it that. And I think they have, and just sucks. Cause now there's this bar that they've set and they've got to beat it. And I don't know how they're going to do that without waiting two more years. They keep saying they want to do it quicker. Are we going to get an expansion announcement at next year's Gamescom?
I think so, for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope.
All right, so we're done with the Warcraft talk.
No more Warcraft talk.
Taking off the Warcraft spoilers banner.
Oh, we had the spoiler banner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I could have spoiled. But
Just in case.
Just in case I slip.
Well, just in case you slip, or just in case, like, there's just people who don't want to know about Warcraft. So now we're done talking about Warcraft. We are going to talk about, or you're going to talk about, the Battlefield 1 open beta, because I haven't had a chance to get my hands on this because I've been so into WoW. So tell me about this, Ryan, because Battlefield 1 is actually the one that I'm looking forward to out of, like, Battlefield or Call of Duty, you know, like the eternal fall struggle.
Yeah.
So
this fall, they're coming out with many a scientific sci-fi future shooters. You've got Titanfall 2. You've got Call of Duty. Okay, those are the two. I think there might be one other one that I'm forgetting. But Battlefield 1 is actually going back to World War 1, and I'm super excited about that, which I never thought I'd say. I remember way, like, maybe six, like, probably just before Modern Warfare came out, we were so sick and tired of these World War II shooters, because that was the go-to, era. And now they've kind of come back to it, and I was worried that Battlefield 1 would be too slow for a lot of people, but it actually feels like a very fast-paced World War One game. I honestly didn't think they could do it, but it's pretty quick. Not so quick that you have to be, you know, breaking your thumbs trying to play the game. Like, I'm not a big Twitch shooter fan. Mm-hmm. This feels like a sweet spot for me where I can be rewarded for being quick, but I don't have to be, like, I don't know, esports
insane
quick. Yeah. it's a lot of fun, and the map that was in the open beta is actually going on right now still until Thursday. That's when it ends. You're going to play the map set in it's a desert. I was going to say it's a desert planet, everybody. No, it's I think, I don't want to say, it could be Egypt, because it's sort of based around the Lawrence of Arabia, whatever it's called.
Arabia.
Thank you. Lawrence of Arabia. So it's in Arabia.
Like, if I just start saying syllables, eventually Jocelyn will catch on to what I mean.
You know what I mean. You know, this is why you're here. You're translating for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's set on in this, it's the desert map, and it just felt like, I haven't played a Battlefield and enjoyed it probably ever. And I'm not a big shooter fan. And when I started playing this, I was a little skeptical. I had pre-ordered it for Xbox. I don't know. I think we had a conversation about what, like, platform we were getting on. I'm still unsure. I have it pre-ordered on Xbox, but I was playing on PC at the time, and it looks amazing. First of all, it looks phenomenal, and the gameplay is fast-paced enough for a World War One game, in that you got your machine guns, there's vehicles, you can actually ride horses and like run up to people and use your knives on folks. It's really rewarding when you do that. Also, it's very frustrating when a tank shoots you off your horse. It's also kind of funny the first time, which is terrible to say, but you know, we'll just move past that. The planes actually feel like you could fly them without being actually having a pilot's license. I was actually able to get the hang of a bomber and actually do some damage, where I was flying around the map and switching to the viewpoint down and actually bombing points and taking people out. Very satisfying. Oh, neat. Yeah. It was very cool. Whereas
I am so much more interested in something like that than I am in Call of Duty Space Battle.
Yeah, Call of Duty to me, and I understand why people enjoy it, it's just too fast-paced. I don't know. I get so frustrated so quickly, and I cannot play more than two matches without being like, I'm done. I'm going to just walk away quietly, and hopefully my $80 controller survives this ordeal. But no, when it came to Battlefield 1, it just felt like there's some great catch-up mechanics in it, too. Where the mode I was playing was Conquest, and if...
Every time somebody says that, there's some great ketchup mechanics, I'm like, do you mean, like, physics? Are we spraying ketchup everywhere?
Oh, no. There's some great catch-up catch-up mechanics.
It's one of those things where it's just, like, once you hear it, you can't unhear it, and then it's just stuck in your head forever. Yeah.
So the map I played, and the other maps that were in the beta, I was talking to a friend of mine, he said the other map had it as well, is in the desert. There's this track that runs, you know, sort of halfway through the map, and it actually crosses three of the points. So Conquest is like 6 points across the map, 60 players, and you're trying to just capture points. Yeah, 30 on 30, and it feels like you're always running across folks, and if you aren't, it's because you've spawned at a place that your team has already captured, and the battles are clearly happening elsewhere. So when you spawn, you can kind of see where everything's going on, and you spawn accordingly to where you want to defend. And if your team falls behind, there's a mechanic where all of a sudden it'll say, okay, the losing team now has control of this armored train that you can drive and move across the map back and forth. And it's essentially this very high-powered, high-armored tank that runs on a set path that you can control. And you can actually capture three of the points while in the train. So it kind of gives you the ability, it gives you the ability to maybe not, like, surpass the opposing team, but at least not have it end in a landslide. Get you back
into contention.
Exactly. And there was a couple of modes, or a couple of matches where I was playing, where I actually won when we were about 100 points behind and then got the train. And then the other team failed to properly shut down the train with bombers. Mm. It kind of felt just more tactical without having to be super mindful of what you should be doing in the game. Like, it sort of just worked. I don't know. Like, whereas other games, you kind of have to know how to play the game to be tactful. In this, it just felt like, nah, you're losing. Here's the train. Spawn into the tank. Do some damage. Yeah. It just worked.
You have to be careful with that, though. And so I'm glad that they're testing it in a beta, because it's really hard to balance a mechanic like that in terms of, first of all, when to give it to a team in order to make it so that they can catch up. But then at the same time, like, you don't necessarily want to punish the team who has been winning, because it's like, if they have been doing well, then maybe they should be the winning team. So it's nice that there are mechanics that allow it to not snowball too much, but at the same time, you want to make sure that the better team is still winning, and that your catch-up mechanic doesn't just, you know, auto win the losing team, because then you're going to have people competing to be the losing team at that certain spawn point or spawn time, you know what I mean? Like, if they know 10 minutes in or X number of points is when the train spawns, you're going to have people competing to essentially get the train, because then that could snowball the other way. Like, then the losing team, if they're losing by like 5 points and then they get the train and then they can win by hundreds, you know.
That is a good point. And honestly, I don't think I played enough to kind of see whether that was an issue. And sometimes we had play matches, the train wouldn't even show up because we were so evenly matched. So, like,
matchmaking, so it doesn't happen every time.
Only if you are way behind. Like, I'd say it's usually like 100 points difference that it actually shows up. So if one team gets to a point where they're 100 points ahead, then the train spawns. And the train only spawns when you're losing. So say you do catch up and they do destroy that train, it's not coming back unless you start to lose again. And if you do start to lose again, you'll probably lose the match before the train shows back up. Right. So there are some mechanics there that kind of try and balance it, but you're right. Like, when you start to add those rubber banding mechanics, it does become harder to sort of balance. And that's where adding new maps in kind of, you know, becomes an issue. But the other map that they had in the open or the closed alpha, the catch-up mechanic was an attack blimp. Yeah, and it was just this huge blimp that would just show up over the map, and you could spawn into the gunner ships, and it just like the train, the best way to take them out was with airplanes. And the airplane, like, spawning into an airplane works really well, and that on the map, on your overview map, you kind of see, okay, like, this base, my base has, you know, two planes available, one tank, and a horse, and you just mouse over it, and you say, okay, I want to spawn as a plane, and then it gives you the three options. So it's not like you have to run up and say, oh, man, there's a plane, I'm going to try and get there before that other dude, and, you know, oh, he's a shitty driver, we just crashed and died. That's still the possibility, which I have done. I've totally, like, oh, boy, a plane, I can't wait, and then just crash right into the ground. It really upsets people. Yeah, it's just...
Can't imagine why.
I always apologize. I think I was playing with Adam at the time. He had jumped into the game, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna try the planes, and he's like, sweet, I'll jump in and be a gunner. And it's just, how do I, like, pull up? I don't know. It's super satisfying, but once you do get the hang of it, it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to Battlefield 1, and I was really just kind of hoping to play the campaign, and now I'm kind of stoked to play more of the multiplayer. Playing the same map over and over again did get a little boring, but it is an open beta, so obviously there'll be more maps when it launches, hopefully. I think it comes out mid-October. I can't even actually remember the solid date, but it's mid-October.
I can't either, but yeah, it's coming soon, within the next couple months. So I'm excited for it. It's my go-to military shooter for this year, so... Yeah. And actually, that's part of why I didn't really want to play it. I was like, oh, you're playing Battlefield. That's great. I'm going to play it when it comes out.
Yeah, I just really wanted to try it. And it lives up to what I was hoping it would be. And I usually worry about the Battlefield games. I think sometimes the large team vehicle mechanics don't really mesh well with my type of shooter. Like, I'm a Halo guy. I like to run around and just shoot people and getting, you know, arcadey vehicles and run around like that way. But this feels like a good balance between that arcade feel and that shooter feel. Like, I don't think people who play Call of Duty are going to love this Battlefield. Like, they're probably going to want to stick with Infinite Spaceware or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think I'm going to go near Call of Duty. I think I'm more inclined to check out Titanfall than I am. I don't know. I was really impressed with the open beta. And I played a bit of the Titanfall 2 technical test, and it was okay. I'm, again, more looking forward to the single-player campaigns for these titles, but I'm looking forward to both multiplayer and single-player for Battlefield. Highly recommend if you want to check it out. Still one more day.
Very, very cool. So I just wanted to remind everyone that they should go check out etch.amove.tv and shirts.amove.tv if they want to pick up any super cool A-Move swag. So we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got pint glasses. We've got coffee mugs. Really, really, really cool stuff, as well as all the shirts from CreateCon. Those are, again, at shirts.amove.tv. So go there and check them out. We have kind of a whole mishmash of news this week. So first we're going to talk about the PlayStation Pro announcement. So they have officially announced what Neo is, and it is a $400 console that is, it's the PlayStation 4 Pro, and it's going to be available soon, right?
November 10th. So yes. Not too far, 2 months from now.
Considering we only just found out what it is, like, yeah, it's coming quite soon.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so it's 4K compatible, but an upgrade to the PlayStation tech, but it's definitely not the next PlayStation console. It's right. Very much along the same lines as the Xbox
S?
The S?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit... Because
S is not Scorpio. And
no.
There's another project coming from Xbox. But it doesn't seem to be, at least nothing announced in terms of a next thing for PlayStation. So, I don't know, Ryan, is this something that you might think about picking up?
Like, I watched, and honestly, I think in order to truly appreciate the PlayStation Pro, I feel like you have to have a 4K television to actually understand what they're trying to offer you. I mean, I watched the videos, and sure, you can kind of tell the difference in fidelity and graphics and just general frame rate. Like, some of those games are running crisp 60 frames, not even dropping. And yeah, I mean, maybe I'll go into a Best Buy where they have the 4K television set up and then, you know, see what the actual PlayStation Pro looks like. But I'm not going to pre-order one because I, you know, they tried to say like, oh, it'll certainly make your games look better on your HD TV. Like, of course it will, because the games are still running better on the Pro, but you're not getting the full potential, which is the 4K. And I mean, feels like
I'm sure all Matt is hearing right now is, we should buy a 4K TV.
It's honestly like we're planning to, you know, move in the near future to get it and to have like my own like gaming space, which means I get to buy a new TV. And I'm kind of like, well, kind of have to get a 4K television, right? And you know, you kind of have to get something that utilizes the 4K television to some capacity. I suppose I could wait for Scorpio next year. But I don't know, like most of the games they showed off that I would love to play on the Pro aren't out for quite a while. Like Andromeda looked pretty good, but most people will say, but Ryan, you could scrap the 4K television and the PlayStation Pro and just get a 4K compatible computer because Andromeda will come out on a PC. Like that's the thing. This is consoles foray into 4K, but you know, PC Master Race will be telling you probably in the Reddit comments that PC has been doing this for quite a while. I don't know if you run it at 4K. I'm sure Matt does because why wouldn't he? Because that's his sort of his jam. But yeah, I don't know. It's exciting that they're doing this. I kind of feel like maybe it's a year too soon. Like they're doing the PlayStation Pro now and Xbox is doing the S, which provides 4K video and Blu-ray as well as the HDR gaming, and then doing Scorpio next year with updated innards and stuff. And it just feels like sort of a mismatch, like maybe they're moving too quickly, trying to, you know, get more stuff out on shelves, and Xbox has provided like a stopgap to kind of give them an extra year to see what Sony does. And it's going to get interesting, but I think the most important thing to note here is that the PlayStation Pro won't play 4K Blu-rays, which honestly, that's sort of the benefit of getting one of these consoles. Like if you want a 4K Blu-ray player, they're going to cost you about $300.
Yeah.
And the Xbox One S plays 4K Blu-ray, 4K Blu-rays and does HDR gaming, which is one of the features of the PlayStation Pro. So I don't know, like this sort of feels like they probably should have waited, although they were probably too far ahead to do that. But, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. Was there anything that caught your eye from the PlayStation announcement that might have made you go, ooh, yeah, this looks good?
Nah.
No? Not even Mass Effect Andromeda?
Well, and so any video that I've seen, I don't know if it was like a crappy connection on my end or something, but like it looked so blurry and bad, right? And like it wasn't even 1080, and I was like, okay, it's kind of hard to look at the graphics and be like, yeah, this looks amazing when, you know, like it's not coming through on the video. So right. I'm sure it probably would have looked more impressive seeing it there in person. But without that, I was, yeah, obviously not impressed.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. It's like, we can't judge this thing based on watching over the internet. You kind of have to see it in person, which is, you know, on November 10th. Maybe a couple days after that, I will look forward to going into my local electronics store and checking out the PlayStation Pro exhibit and saying, huh, 4K gaming does look pretty cool. I might honestly think about it. But in terms of seeing an extended cut of gameplay for Mass Effect Andromeda, like, this is the first time we've seen this game. Did that sort of look interesting to you?
Yeah, so Mass Effect Andromeda, if you guys haven't seen it, there's about a 3-minute clip of gameplay, and it did. It looked really cool. For some reason, it gave me a Halo vibe.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Okay, so I thought I was like crazy or something. I'm like, no. Why is this making me think of Halo instead of Mass Effect?
I think it had to do with just
up until they showed the Asari, obviously, but
yeah, it was. I think it was the traversal and sort of the environment they were showing off. It was very corridor, very like space Halo-ish. Mm-hmm. It wasn't your typical, you know, for me, I think what they should have shown was just a typical space conversation on one of the spaceships. That would have been more interesting to me. And when they did get to that point, I was like, oh, this feels good. And it looks fantastic. I want to see that again. That's a game I want to see running in front of me as opposed to over video. It's getting harder and harder to sort of showcase these games over the internet, I feel.
Yeah.
And man, that game coming
soon. It's coming in March, right?
Yeah, next March, which I'm fine with that. I mean, November is going to be crazy, so that was what it was originally slated for, but we'll have more news coming as we kind of suspected, like on N7 Day in November, which I don't know. I want to know what's going on in that game, kind of, but I'm also just ready for it to be out, so I'm half appreciating the fact that they haven't told us anything, and I'm also like, just make it March
already. Yeah.
Like, give me confidence that this game is going to actually come out. Because right now, this pre-alpha stuff, and the footage kind of looked a little shaky. I don't know if it was just the way what we were watching or anything, but it just, the frames sort of dropped a little bit. It felt a little, it's definitely pre-alpha, so I don't know.
Yeah. So the one thing that might hold you over until March is the fact that we are getting a Super Mario title on iOS this holiday season. So the Apple event was, I guess, today, right?
Yeah, it was this afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually saw Super Mario running on an iPhone. And this, what's really cool about this, first of all, is it's not something in the vein of Pokemon. It's an actual Mario title, like a platformer. Mm-hmm. But you can play it one-handed, which is super cool.
Yeah. Have you played many of these free runner games? Is that a thing you've dabbled with?
So I think Temple Run played. And I'm trying to think. There was like a minion one too. Like the little minions from Despicable Me. Yeah.
That's cool. It's fine. I mean, free runners have sort of been applied to every franchise. And I remember one that was sort of unique was, I think it was called like Ski Safari. Or it was like Alto's Adventure. Anyways, they were sort of just these interesting little tap to jump type things. And this is what Super Mario Run feels like. It was just incredibly weird. And it felt like this was the moment where Jocelyn says, it's happening. It's happening, everybody. Miyamoto walked out on an Apple stage to say, here's a Nintendo game for you iOS people. Also coming to Android. But it was weird. And I feel like every other company would probably do the same thing, but Nintendo doing it is kind of surprising, because Nintendo's always been this company that like, no, it's our way or the highway, we're doing it. I could even see them launching Super Mario Run on iOS, but still not coming to an Apple event. Like, man, they must have really done some real trickery there to get them. It's just, man, it just looks so weird. But the game looks awesome.
I think they're finally waking up. I think that's all it is. So, there's a really cool, like, it's not necessarily multiplayer, but there's like a challenge mode. Mm-hmm. So like you could challenge me, or like not in real time, but like it's like racing a ghost in Mario Kart. So
yeah, it's asynchronous.
Yes, exactly. So you can like see me as I'm going through and try to beat my score. So I looked at this. I was like, that's so cute. I love it. And apparently, though, they said that it's going to be one purchase price. The iOS store is showing it as flagged for in-app purchases. So it looks like it's going to be one price to pay to play it. But then there's probably going to be like, make Mario look like Luigi, or, you know, like some sort of like extra characters or skins or whatever. So you'll be able to, it won't affect your gameplay. It'll be one price to get the app, but then there's going to be other stuff you can do to skin it in different ways.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, if people really want to run around as Luigi, they can pay the 99 cents, whatever. It's just, it's the environment that the game is being released in, and I think more people, we should just prepare ourselves for the amount of comments from people like, oh my God, this is an expensive iOS game. And it's Nintendo putting out, it's going to be their first.
We don't actually have a price, right?
We don't, but I'm anticipating that it'll probably be at a price point where people are like, this is a free runner. Why does it cost $10? Like,
yeah.
I can see it being a premium game. And man, if it's above $10, that would be like even Nintendo pricey. Like, I'm sort of thinking Nintendo's going to go the Blizzard route and say, like, we think it's worth this much, even though looking at our competition, you think it's worth this much. You know? And yeah, I think people should just prepare for that. I could be completely wrong, and I kind of hope I am, because I mean, Nintendo needs a win, but you're right. Like, this is them sort of realizing, like, okay, we're not going to make a smartphone. Let's do the iOS thing. Let's do the Android thing. Let's actually try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Miitomo was a good first experiment to get their sort of feet wet. And I'm glad they've kind of come out and said, no, the next thing we're doing is a game. And it's going to be out this holiday on iOS. But unfortunately, that does mean that the two titles that they had already slated for this fall are actually being delayed till next March, which is the Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem games. And I was really looking forward to those two, probably more than a Mario Free Runner. But I don't know. That Free Runner looks really cool. And I think you're right. Like, just the asynchronous stuff does look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that Nintendo is doing something that is 100% Nintendo, because obviously that we had Pokemon Go and we've had, what was the other one? Wasn't there another one?
Miitomo?
Miitomo, yeah. But the fact that they're actually doing like a game and it's 100% theirs and it's on iOS, I think it's just, it's very milestone. Feels very milestone. So
it's big.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think this opens the door, assuming that it does well, I think it opens the door for Nintendo to do a lot of other things on iOS and possibly other platforms in the future. So we'll have to see. But yeah. I'm excited anyways.
It's just a nice change from what we've been seeing with Nintendo, where it's been very closed box thinking. And I think the more people that get to enjoy these franchises, the better. And obviously the best place to sort of, you know, fold is the iOS. I mean, we're probably quite a ways away, at least a hardcore console failure from seeing them walk out. Although I was thinking, like, man, wouldn't it be crazy if the NX was just a peripheral for the PlayStation Pro? Like, how crazy would that have been? But evidently whatever I was smoking this morning was pretty powerful. So, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Wanted to remind everyone that we'll probably be doing something at 8 p.m. tomorrow, some sort of game night. I'm thinking probably running some Legion Dungeons.
Yeah.
So we'll be streaming that at 8 p.m. Eastern. And that'll be over on twitch.tv/JossPlays. Reminder to all of our patrons. First of all, thank you very much. You can support us just like they do at patreon.com/thegamersin. We also have a super cool Discord server, so you guys can jump in. And there are exclusive rooms in there for patrons. So all the links to all of that is over at patreon.com/thegamersin. Ryan has said that he is going to put new Patreon reward levels are going up next week.
It's happening.
I call shenanigans. I
think you
forget again.
No, it's not. I mean, honestly, we've had them written and sort of planned out for months, and we just kept forgetting. And I know
it's been a busy summer.
People have been very patient, and there are folks that are supporting us at levels above what they're being rewarded for, and that is super awesome. We really appreciate it. So we just want to give people some extra levels to kind of say, like, you know what, this week I will bump it up or keep it at that level. Some of you are already at the levels we're going to be adding, which is which is awesome. I look forward to giving those folks some extra rewards for that patronage.
Yeah, so make sure that if you do see emails from Patreon from the Gamers Inn, make sure that you actually go in and check your reward levels to make sure that you're getting rewarded at the proper level. Because I think it won't automatically change your reward even if we change the reward levels. So it's going to require a little bit of maintenance on your end, but we hope that you enjoy the new reward levels. So again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. Tondagost in the chat room says he believes in you, Ryan. So
thank you. That's all I needed. Just Tondagost.
Now we know it's going to be done for sure because someone believes in Ryan.
that's all
that
I
makes
need.
Me sound like a terrible person.
No.
I never believed in Ryan, so it never got done.
we've been so busy. It's hard, Jocelyn. It is almost mid-September. There are games coming out soon.
Stop.
No.
Stop, Ryan.
I will not. There are games coming out. Just next week, there's a new Xbox game called ReCore.
I had a pumpkin spice muffin.
I did too. I'm like, what the hell is happening? It cannot. I was like, I was coming back from PI. I'm going to get this muffin. Why does it taste like pumpkin? What is happening right now? If I see a jack-o'-lantern, I am going to flip. Seriously.
I thought you were going to say I'm going to smash it.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't. He might. That. That'd be People funny. Work really hard on those things, Jocelyn. Come on.
You're so Canadian. I'm going to rage, but in a way that doesn't impact anyone else.
Exactly. That pumpkin will be safe, but damn if it doesn't feel hated right now.
Oh, man. On that note, remember to visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us at anymove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions, I'm struggling not to cough right now. I don't know what's happened to me in the last minute.
A lot of yelling and screaming. That's what's happening.
Yeah. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about your experiences in Legion so far, your experience with the Battlefield 1 beta, or what you think about the new console coming from PlayStation, please do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.